morning is that passage from Luke chapter 10. Shall we read it together again? Let's read. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we pray this morning as we look into your word that you might speak into our hearts and into our minds. And that you might reveal yourself once again through your word. And that as we look into your word that we might be challenged, that we might be changed. So that we grow to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, by now, hopefully you know that we are in this series, which we've called, we're shaped for serving God. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at our shape. And the S, of course, is for spiritual gifts. The H is for heart. The A is for abilities. The P is for personality. And the E is for experience. And we've been looking through this acronym of shape in order to try and discover how we are shaped for serving God. We began by looking at spiritual gifts, and we described what spiritual gifts were. We said what they were and what they weren't, and here's a list of spiritual gifts. And each one of you has got at least one of these gifts. And we said that it was important to discover which spiritual gift you had so that you could use it in the life of the church. And it was important that you develop those spiritual gifts as you use them more and more often. And then we were looking at the heart, and we said it's important to listen to your heart, listen to what your heart says to you, listen to the compassion within your heart for different situations, for different types of people. We said follow your heart. It's an indicator of where perhaps you should be serving God. If you feel for a particular group of people, it might be young people, it might be old people, it might be people that don't know Jesus, follow your heart. And we said that you should serve from your heart. Do the things that God has placed on your heart. Serve from your heart. And then we were looking at the A, the abilities. And we said that God gives us the capability to serve. God has given us each, not just spiritual gifts, but natural talents that we can also use for his glory. God gives us the capability to serve. God gives us the teachability to serve. There's some things that we can learn to do. And others can teach us. And the question, of course, was, have we the availability? Are we willing and able to serve God? And this week, of course, we're thinking about the P. And the P is for personality. And, you know, God, just as he gives us different gifts, gives us different hearts, gives us different talents and abilities, guess what? We've all got different personalities. We're not the same, are we? We express our personality in different ways. Some people express their personality in the way that they dress. Guess how many comments I've had about this shirt this morning already? There may be more to come. I've had 3 comments. I wrote some of them down, actually, because they were gems. Somebody said, that's a bold choice. You can guess who that was. Someone said, is that a shirt full of Scousers? And there might be more, but some of us express our personalities through the way that we dress, through the way that we behave. Our personalities are expressed. I thought this cartoon was quite amusing, especially since it said Brother Richard. Beware those who dress and live to be noticed. They crave prestige in the church but are shallow and deceitful. Hey, brings you back down to earth again, doesn't it? But we are, there are different personalities. And here you see the 12 disciples. You might not be able to read their names. Andrew, John, James, Peter, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Thomas, Nathanael, Philip, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, and Judas Iscariot. And guess what? They were all different personalities. They were all different people. And people are different, and sometimes our difference shows more than others. I came across this story about during the French Revolution, where there were three Christians who had been sentenced to die by guillotine. One Christian was a very loud and outspoken person, and when he was asked whether he wanted a hood over his head, he declined and said he wasn't afraid to die and that he had faith in God, and he boldly and loudly proclaimed that. The rope was pulled on the guillotine, and surprisingly nothing happened. The executioner was amazed. The next person to be executed was a very quiet and softly spoken person. And he said that yes, he would like his head to be covered, but he was just going to pray quietly that God would deliver him. Amazingly, as the rope was pulled again, nothing happened. And once again, the puzzled executioner assumed that it must be a miracle of God. The third Christian was a very practical person. Always solving problems and looking at detail. And asked whether he wanted a hood, he said no. The executioner positioned him faced up in the guillotine and was just about to pull the rope when the man said, "Hey, wait a minute, I think I can see what the problem is." God gives us different personalities, and we react differently in different circumstances and different situations. And we see that in the 12 disciples, don't we? We see just how different they were. And the first thing I want to say is that we are to embrace the person that God has made you. Embrace the person God has made you. Don't compare yourself with somebody else and wish you were somebody else. Embrace the person that God has made you. Because we sang it in the kids' song. He loves you. Whatever you look like and whatever your personality is, he loves you. And we need to embrace ourselves. In fact, Jesus, asked what's the greatest commandment, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." And we often, rightly so, concentrate on the neighbour bit. But don't forget, Jesus says we've got to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. So we've got to love ourselves first before we can really love our neighbour. If you don't love yourself, you're going to have a problem loving your neighbour and probably have a problem loving God. So we need to embrace the person that God has made us to be. We need to know that God has made us in a particular way. He's given us these gifts and abilities and hearts, and he's given us a personality that's different to other people's personality. And we need to embrace that. We need to embrace it. "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." It's okay to praise God for how he has made you. It's okay. Because God is pleased with what he has made. You know, in the creation narrative, after he made each thing, he said that he was pleased, that it was good. And that's how God has made us. And so we can praise him because of the way that we've been made. And so we need to embrace the person that God has made you. We need to accept ourselves for who we are and what we are. And looking at just two of the disciples, Peter and John. I mean, how different were they? How different were Peter and John? Different personalities. On the resurrection day, they both raced to the tomb. But who won the race? Do you remember? John won the race. When they got there, Peter dashed in, looked around, and he straight out again. But John kind of hung around. And he noticed the grave clothes, and it said when he saw the grave clothes, he believed. A different personality. And when we read John's gospel, we see that personality come through, that he was a more thoughtful person. that he spent time thinking about what all these things meant. And he wrote it down in his gospel. Peter, on the other hand, was a bit more kind of, feet first and think later, wasn't he, kind of type of person. He was always putting his foot in it. Both Peter and John were on the boat when Jesus walked across, but who was it who jumped out of the boat? Peter. Always jumping into things. It was his personality. He couldn't stop himself. He was always the one to speak first and think later. Whereas John seemed to be the sort of person that was always thinking things through. And then he wrote down carefully the conclusions to what he came to. Different ways of expressing our personality. One isn't right and one isn't wrong. It's just different. And we need to embrace the person God has made you. Embrace, love yourself. Not in a proud and horrible way, but in a way that is embracing the person that God has made. Rejoicing in the fact that God has made you in a particular way and He's shaped you. And He's given you particular gifts and talents and abilities and personalities that nobody else have. You can make a contribution to this church that nobody else can make. And by the way, the whole purpose of this series is to encourage you to make a contribution to the church. And I'm hoping next week that list of different roles in the church will be back on the notice board, because it may be that you're not using your gifts and abilities and personalities and talents as much as you could be doing. And we'll have a list of different roles that you could serve next week on the notice board. And you can look at that and say, where do I fit? Where am I shaped to serve God? So embrace the person God has made you. But also, accept the person God has made different. Accept the person that God has made different. Because, as I said, we are all different. I came across another story of a person who had applied to Bible college to be a minister, and part of the college application was directed to the applicant's parents. And one of the questions was, would you consider your child to be a leader or a follower? After much deliberation, the father wrote that he felt his son, although very much a unique individual, was really more of a follower. Not long after, a letter of acceptance arrived from the college, accompanied by a note from the registrar welcoming his child. "We feel he'll fit in especially well," the letter read, "as he will be the only follower in a class of 49 leaders." Imagine if everybody wanted to lead the church. Imagine if everybody here wanted to be the minister, wanted to stand here. There'd be nobody left in the congregation, would there? God has given us different gifts and different abilities and different personalities. And we are to embrace that, but also accept the person God has made different. Very often in our world, just imagine how better our world would be if we accepted people that are different. Think of all the problems in the world that are caused because people can't accept people of a different religion, people of a different community, people of a different class, people who look differently. So often people can't accept that difference. And we see in the story of Mary and Martha, again, two very different personalities. Mary, who's sitting quietly at Jesus' feet, listening and taking in what Jesus said. Martha, busy around the house, making sure everything is ready and prepared for Jesus to sit down and eat a meal. Who do you identify? Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Are you able to sit quietly and meditate? Or are you always on the go, busy? If there's something to do, you're going to be the person to do it. If there's, you're not going to stay out of the kitchen even if people tell you to, because that's where you feel at home. Who do you associate with? Martha or Mary? Different personalities. It's interesting, isn't it? Martha, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work?" The danger is with the people with a personality that is busy and working is that they think that people that aren't like that are lazy. So it'd be easy to look at somebody else and obviously Martha's looking at Mary and thinking, she's just lazy. And sometimes, let's be honest, that's what we think. You know, some of us in the church may feel like the Martha, that it always comes to us to do the work, that we're always the ones left at the end of the day putting the chairs away or tidying up. And if you're not careful, you can start to think, these other people are just lazy, they don't work. You know, somebody might be sat praying over here, quietly praying, while somebody else is busy moving the chairs. Both serving God, using their gifts and abilities. What's Martha really asking Jesus to do? He's asking her to make Mary more like her. She's asking Jesus to make Mary more like her. And you know, that's one of the pitfalls we can fall into. We can try and make people like ourselves. You know, I could try and force you to all wear shirts like this. You know, so that I feel perhaps more comfortable and fitting in because everybody's dressing the same. But you'd probably hate it. Or you could try and force me to wear, you know, a suit and a tie, or even some people even try to force me to wear a dog collar. And what we're doing when we're saying that is fit into the way that I feel comfortable. Don't be yourself, be like me. And all of us, at some stage, we feel like that, don't we? Because we feel that our way of being and doing is the best way, because it's the way that we feel comfortable. But there's something about accepting people who are different. Accept that God has made the person next to you different than he's made you. One of the ways this very often comes out is, you know, when we worship together. You know, if you have a loud, outgoing personality, it isn't surprising that you might like loud, outgoing music, that you might want to express your worship in a particular way. Somebody who's got a more quiet, meditative personality might appreciate more quiet and even times of silence. I can remember once when I was at college, somebody came to lead a retreat, and it was a silent retreat. And at dinner time, we were asked to be silent when we ate our dinner. And some people just couldn't cope with it. Some people could not keep silent when they were eating dinner. Even though they'd been given the instruction and told, this is what they're doing, they just couldn't stop themselves because it was completely alien to their personalities. Other people just were in their comfort zone. Quiet and peace. They loved it. They'd have been quite happy if the college had adopted that principle for the rest of the time we were there, that you weren't to speak during lunch hour. Different personalities. The danger is when we start to spiritualize our own personality, that we start to say that my way of worshiping God is actually better than yours, so you've got to worship like me, so you've got to jump up and down and be joyful, or you've got to be quiet. And meditative. We shouldn't force people into worshipping God in a way that they don't feel it is them. And often we do that. And we make judgments about people based on what we and who we are and our own personalities. And that's why, you know, the whole area of worship is sometimes a bit of a difficult issue in church, because it's more to do with people's personality than it is to do with their spirituality. Hey, yes, I do like the Beatles. And so it's not surprisingly then that, you know, my choice of songs might reflect more my personality than my spirituality. And sometimes people do spiritualize things that just... they shouldn't do, really, because it's just an expression of our own personalities. Accept the person that God has made different from you. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. You know, when you go into if you were to walk into a room full of strangers, do you feel at ease and straight away go up and start speaking to people and making conversation? Or do you just want to go in a corner and hide away? Neither response is wrong. It's just an expression of who you are. Some people are more outgoing and feel comfortable and find it very easy to walk up to people and make conversations. Some people hate those situations. For some people, the worst part of church is actually when we go in there afterwards and drink coffee, because if you're not an outgoing personality who finds it easy to make conversations, speak with people, that's a difficult situation that you've been put in. Other people love it and go around talking to people and making lots of noise and are in their comfort zone. Neither is right or wrong. Now, of course, some of you might be thinking, ah, but yeah, didn't Jesus say Mary has chosen the better way? And obviously, in this situation, what Jesus is saying to Martha, you know, Martha, Martha, hear the love and concern in that response. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. In that particular situation, what Mary was doing wasn't wrong. I don't think Jesus is saying that Martha should have been sat at his feet as well. I think he was saying, actually, what Mary's doing isn't wrong. And why would it be wrong? Well, actually, where Mary was sat was somewhere where she shouldn't have been sat. You see, in Jesus' time, the woman's place was in the kitchen. It was the men who sat around discussing God and theology and things like that. And Mary was actually sitting in the wrong place. She was sat where the men sat, listening and studying the scriptures. Wasn't a place for women in Jesus' time. And Jesus is saying, it's okay. It's okay for Mary. And it's okay for women. You know, Jesus was a radical person in his time, in his acceptance of women in the group of his followers. And in the church, we see that women emerge as leaders as well in the church. So accept the person God has made different. Don't judge somebody because they are different to you. They might be very loud, and sometimes that can be annoying. They might be very quiet, and sometimes that can be annoying. But allow the person to be who God has made them to be. And then allow the person of Christ to transform you. Just as when we were talking about the heart, we said, you know, not everything that comes, when we said follow your heart, not everything. No, it's not always a good thing to do to follow your heart, because your heart can lead you in all sorts of places that you shouldn't go. And, you know, allow the person of Christ to transform you. As we look at the scriptures, as we grow and develop in our faith, God is going to change you. You know, sometimes people say, oh, such and such a person, that's just what they're like. When they're being rude or obnoxious or grumpy. Well, it isn't how God likes you to be. And sometimes we excuse people and say it's just their personality. And if there are traits in our personality that aren't good, and let's face it, we've all got traits in our personalities that aren't good and aren't to be rejoiced in and celebrated, we need to allow God to change those things. You see, Paul was a person who was radically changed. You know his story on the Damascus Road. In Saul and Paul, he was called Saul. And as Saul, we see something of his personality. He speaks about it in his letters to the Galatians. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advanced in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, and I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. You see, Paul's personality, he was zealous, he was enthusiastic, and he persecuted the church with that zealous and enthusiasm. But God was able to use that same personality, that same zealousness and enthusiasm and zeal for his glory in taking the good news to the Gentiles. Before, he was persecuting the church and just trying to destroy it. Through the personality, God changed him and allowed him to be the person that he was in taking the good news to the Gentile church. Allow the person of Christ to transform you. Later on in Galatians, you know, Paul talks about, you know, the acts of sinful nature, obvious sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, as when we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit, we said you're given a gift, maybe one or two. The fruit of the Spirit, you're supposed to have the whole lot. You're supposed to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're supposed to have the whole package. That's what we're supposed to be like. Paul writing to the Philippians, you know, talks about having the same mind of Christ. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. We're supposed to become more and more like Jesus. And if our personality, some things in our personality that need to be changed, then we need to allow God to change us through Christ, to make us into the person that he wants us to be. You see, when we were born, that wasn't the end of the story. God made us fearfully and wonderfully, but we weren't complete. Yes, we had, you know, 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 eyes and a nose, but we grow and we develop, and God continues to shape us into the people he wants us to be. And God hasn't finished shaping you. However old you are, God hasn't finished. We're still a work in progress. God still wants to shape us into the people he wants us to be. So, yes, let's embrace the person that God has made us. Let's accept the people that God has made different to us. And let's allow the person of Christ to continue to remake us in Jesus' image.